The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But, wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty, all-merciful God, through Christ Jesus, you taught us to love one another, to love our enemies as ourselves, to love our neighbors. In times of violence and fear, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, so that we may not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Help us to see each person in light of the love and grace you have shown us in Christ. Put away the nightmares of terror and awaken us to the dawning of your new creation. Establish among us a future where peace reigns, justice is done with mercy, and all are reconciled. We ask these things in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Finish this for me. Like a good neighbor. You've all seen the commercials, obviously. I'm actually a State Farm client, disclaimer here, and they are quite good to us, but not quite as magical as it appears on television. So you see this disaster happen, and the person cries out, "State Farm," and everything's fixed immediately. Another person cries out, "State Farm!" It's fixed again. And of course, the point being that the other insurance carriers just don't match up. I was thinking this week, wouldn't it be just really cool if we could cry out and the problems of the world the violence, the destruction, the hatred could just be fixed like that. I caught the tail end of the movie Bruce Almighty last night and realized that answering all of our prayers isn't necessarily the answer. And all week, I, and probably like you, have been inundated with words and images. What to make of a week like this? And then the lectionary committee just lays it down right in front of us. The lawyer asks Jesus, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, what do you know about it already?" And the lawyer says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "You have gotten an A in catechism class." But knowing it and doing it are two different things. And so I ask you to recollect back as far as you can. When do you recall first hearing this parable? Were you a young child? We've all heard it. A man traveling on a dangerous road gets robbed, beaten up, and left half dead. And the priest and the Levite, they pass by on the other side. And I've heard and probably given lots of sermons that talk about exactly what the priest and the Levite were, their roles in the church, but I'm just going to simplify it to say the church passed them by. And the church walked on the other side of the road. And then along came a Samaritan who probably wasn't very safe on that road either. But instead of walking around, the Samaritan came near. The Samaritan showed up, bandaged the traveler's wounds, took him to shelter, and continued the care. And all of the verbs here in the Greek are an action that's ongoing. Put an ing on all of those verbs, and you have a better sense for what it was. The man wasn't just a neighbor because he did one act. The man was a neighbor because he was neighboring and kept neighboring and was becoming a neighboring person. Which one of these was the neighbor? Jesus asked in response to that question, "Who is my neighbor?" Now the man asking the question was trying to justify himself. I don't think he really wanted to know. And I think sometimes that's where we're at too, if we're honest. In our confession we say we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Which one was the neighbor? The one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Now, this has been a very violent week. In the news, in the world, And as we see the news, we see wounded people by the side of the road, literally and figuratively, every day. What is our response? To read catechism verses and say, I've memorized all that. Or to go and do likewise. I know this community, and I've seen a lot of go and do likewise. And I'm heartened by it. Yesterday, I went to the Black Lives Matter march. And I'll tell you that I thought, yes, I should go. No, I shouldn't go. Yes, I should go. No, I shouldn't go. And then I thought, yes, I should go. Because when our neighbors are hurting, when they're crying out in pain, the church needs to show up. And I also understand that there are some of you who may still think that Black Lives Matter is only about black lives, but it's about so much more. It's about justice. And I'll also tell you that we spent the very first moments of what we did there in silence, praying for the fallen officers in Dallas. It wasn't an either or by any means. It was, we want to see our community and our country united again with liberty and justice for all. And it was a positive event. And I'm going to tell you, I think that's where church was yesterday. I know some people in the congregation get a little nervous because we don't have many kids here. Didn't have a children's sermon this morning. But if we're honest, I think we get a little nervous because we can't get a big group of kids to come play apples to apples, Bible version. But the first thing I saw when I got to Dunham's parking lot were five of our kids, our young people. Sarah was there, and Danielle, and Steph. Chris was there. And Maggie. And I thought, this is the future. This is community. And walking next to me was Pastor Tyson Park's wife. We promised each other that we would look out for each other. And it was peaceful. But see, this is what Jesus is calling us to do. Not necessarily a protest march, although it was far more peaceful than that. It was a celebration of unity. It was a hopeful march. But Jesus, in this parable of the Good Samaritan, calls us to show up when our neighbors are hurting. Yes, Black lives matter. Police lives matter. All lives matter. Shoot, I had three friends who had to put down dogs this week. Furry lives matter. Because when our brothers and sisters are in pain, Jesus calls us to show up. But this isn't a sermon all about law. This sermon is the good news, because when we show up, we see the humanity in each other. We see that we are brothers and sisters. One race, the human race. We see pain. And we see each other's fear. But the reason, the only reason, that we can show up and not be afraid is because we know Jesus did it first. You see, Jesus was the Good Samaritan. He wasn't a religious insider. When he was on the cross, the priest and the Levite were probably cheering. But when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." They still don't get it, that violence doesn't make things better. They don't know that violence doesn't win. Love wins. And so when the world took out its wrath on our Savior, God got back at wrath with love. There is no power greater than the love of Christ. When death was going to be the last word, and they crucified Jesus and said, "There, we're done with him," love won. Love, the love of Christ, always wins in the end. And so when you see bad news, and when you see violence, when you see destruction and hatred, counter it with love. Our world has so many people kicked to the side of the road. Grieving people. Injured people. Refugees. Jesus says, "Show up. Don't fear. Be strong. Be confident. Show up. Because I showed up for you." When I lift up the chalice during the words of institution during Holy Communion, I lift it high and invite you to look. And I say these words, "This cup," says Jesus, "is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remember, not just a memory exercise, but reattaching something that's been dismembered. Be remembered to the body of Christ. Stay in the Word and the sacrament. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.